The International Energy Agency has dropped another bombshell from its Paris headquarters, unleashing a fresh 10-point plan dubbed Sheltering from Oil Shocks. Brent crude spiking toward $120 a barrel and the Strait of Hormuz largely shut down. The document urges governments to slash global oil demand by an estimated 2.7 million barrels per day within 4 months. Key COVID 2.0-esque measures include mandating work from home up to 3 days a week, dropping highway speed limits by at least 6 to 10 miles per hour, imposing car-free Sundays in major cities, alternating vehicle access by license plate where odd-numbered plates get access on certain days and even-numbered plates get access on the other days, pushing carpooling and public transportation as we dwell in a reality where all of the machete-wielding lunatics are free to injure anyone they please under Blue City Soros DAs, cutting non-essential business flights by 40%, and promoting efficient trucking and rail alternatives. Yeah, you know, the trucking industry, rife with illegal aliens.
This illegal immigrant came into America in March of 2022. He was given a federal work permit by the Biden-Harris administration, and Gavin Newsom gave him a CDL license. On this day, he was driving intoxicated. When the traffic in front of him slowed down, he didn't slow down, and he plowed right through eight cars, immediately killing three individuals and seriously injuring four.
And the rail alternative, from the likes of the $16 billion California Governor Newsom burned to create nothing.
You want to be big? You got to be big in big things. This is the only high-speed rail system of its type anywhere in the United States of America. You could talk all you want. You guys are actually delivering, making things happen.
On the surface, it reads like pragmatic crisis management for a genuine supply crunch. But we just went through this engineered behavioral control bureaucratic nightmare, and in some respects we still are, and I guarantee the American people are not going to line up like sheep this time. This isn't the first time the IEA has rolled out such a blueprint. Back in 2022, amid the Russia-Ukraine fallout, they issued an almost identical 10-point plan to cut oil use that pushed remote work, slower speeds, car-free days, and reduced air travel, measures that conveniently aligned with the post-COVID new normal of emerging restricted mobility and digital surveillance. Now, in 2026, the agency is recycling the playbook under the guise of sheltering consumers, with language like immediate actions for advanced economies and heavy emphasis on limiting personal freedom of movement that will quickly morph into policy mandates, fines, internment camps, and enforcement grids. The IEA's own net zero by 2050 roadmap has long telegraphed the endgame, slashing fossil fuel demand not through abundant cheap energy, but through rationing your lifestyle. The populace corralled like sheep, all while the elites jet between climate summits and award ceremonies. Expect the usual cascade towards establishment insolence, where corporate compliance, media cheerleading, and gradual normalization of surveillance apps to optimize your carbon or oil footprint ramp up. The Agenda 2030 goal is less than 4 years away, and the fools are going for broke. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultra methylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultra methylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can, but this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now, if you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds.
The Louisville for as long as I've been an Info Warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm like horrible with equipment. I'm like very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife coming back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80, we're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
You're watching The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
By the powerful gubernatorial Florida candidate James Fishback, who's running against the infamous, at this point, Byron Donalds. We want to ask him about his campaign, about events going on in the world, things he's been involved in, conversations people are having. James Fishback, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on, Fishback. It's been a while. The last time we talked to you was on our show probably, what, like 4 months ago, five months ago? A lot has changed, and we just want to catch up, see what's going on, because you know we've been seeing you online.
Yes.
So what's changed since then?
Well, a lot's changed. Congratulations to your new show, and it's great to see you guys here, and thanks for the opportunity. I want to just start off by saying that I want to wish everyone a meaningful Good Friday. And I would ask everyone to say a prayer if they could for the two men that were in that F-15 that was shot down by the Iranian regime just an hour ago, that search and rescue operation underway. But it's sad that the conflict has gotten to this point, and keep those two men in our prayers as we hope and pray for an end to this war with Iran.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. There are multiple reports, some unconfirmed, that there are some real nasty things developing right now. I've seen multiple news sources report on it now. Axios has reported on an F-15 being shot down. What are your thoughts on that speculation?
Yes, it is. It is tragic. It is yet another reminder that the leaders who wield the levers of war and peace have to be very conscious about what wars we are getting into and why and how we should maintain the peace. And so I voted for President Trump in 2024. I don't regret that decision, but I do think this war is misguided. I haven't seen any intel that suggests that there was an imminent threat posed from Iran to the United States. It looks far more likely that it was Israel trying to get us once again into one of their wars to increase their influence in that region. And so it is sad that we're yet again seeing potentially more casualties on the American side, whilst Israel has yet to suffer a single casualty in a war that we would not be in if it were not for them. And so that's why I went to Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. I stood outside of the Capitol and I respectfully pushed back on the administration that I support, that it's time to either share credible intelligence that shows that Iran does in fact pose an imminent threat to the United States, or it's time to begin to de-escalate this conflict and bring the thousands of troops who have been sent to the region back home.
Now, I'm very curious, kind of like the behind the scenes aspects to running a political campaign. And when you go to Washington and you do these things, you're on a big platform now. Do you ever get any pressure behind the scenes as you're speaking out against these conflicts?
Yes, to put it lightly, the DMs be blowing up. And so, yes, of course, there are the people who try to stop or push back. And I welcome that debate. But I think at the end of the day, Americans deserve to know the truth.
Right.
Tim, not your version of the truth or my version of the truth, but the truth singular. And the truth is that the reason why Joe Kent resigned from number two at the director of national intelligence was because he hadn't seen the intel. The reason why Tulsi Gabbard was asked point blank under oath in congressional testimony if Iran was an imminent threat, and she refused to answer. And so say what you want about George Bush, Colin Powell, 2003 in the Iraq war, at least they had the common courtesy to give us a made up pretext for the war. They're not even extending that courtesy these days. And so yes. I voted for President Trump, among other reasons, to end the forever wars, the forever cyber wars that were started by George Bush, perpetuated by Barack Obama. This was a break, a post-partisan break from the neocon uniparty consensus that always found a way for us to get involved in foreign conflicts. And so I think that's a number one reason why a lot of people in my state voted for President Trump. I went to the internment of the U.S. service member who was killed in the early days of the war in Kuwait, Major Cody Cork. And when you go to one of these funerals and you see up close what war does to people, it really does shape and reframe right. how disastrous this conflict can be. And so there's no question that Major Cork died a hero. He died in service to his country. And it's time to make sure that we can limit all future casualties and do right by service members and make sure that we are honoring their commitment as well.
Very powerful point. I want to say this to the viewers, listeners at home, the people hearing us right now doing this interview. War is a dead body in the grave rotting with maggots in it. War is a little kid with no arms or legs. That's what war is. And when you go out there and you support a conflict without knowing much about it, just accepting government's narrative, whatever they're going to tell you, just realize what's going on. And we're not divorced from these conflicts. Whatever happens overseas could eventually, potentially, God forbid, happen at home. You're running this very intense grassroots campaign where you're literally talking to everybody in an effort to beat the big funding. When you talk to people on the street, when you go to these funerals, when you talk to soldiers, veterans, you name it, what's the feeling about war from them?
They understand that it's a necessity, that sometimes it is absolutely necessary and you can't avoid it. But it also means that when you do go into war, you have to have a clear exit strategy, clear defined objectives. We had the president of the United States address the country 2 days ago, and he talked about bombing Iran back to the Stone Ages. That's not a clear objective. That's not why we're going to war with Iran, is to bomb them back to the Stone Ages. In fact, Rex, we've heard at least five different explanations as to why we're in this war. It was to stop the nuclear program. I thought Operation Midnight Hammer fully denuclearized Iran last summer. And then it was regime change. Here we go again. I thought President Trump was against regime change. And then it was to avenge the deaths of American service members that Iran had perpetuated for years. I can agree with that, but you avenge those deaths when they happen. You don't wait 30 or 40 years to do that. And then, of course, the last one, which is the most perplexing, is that Iran was somehow an imminent threat to the United States. And if that is actually true, I'm happy to change my mind, and I think millions of Americans are as well. If Iran was actually plotting to attack, say, New York City or Chicago or LA, absolutely, we should go in there and take them out. But there's no evidence of that whatsoever. And so I fear that this is a classic case of mission creep. We got in almost certainly because of Israel, and now we're redefining the objectives every 48 hours, and we'll never be able to get out. This is exactly what happened in Iraq. Right? We were supposed to go in there, identify weapons of mass destruction. They didn't exist. And then it became a nation-building counterinsurgency operation. Same thing with Afghanistan. We went in there to unseat the Taliban government, who had given safe haven and refuge to Al-Qaeda, which attacked us on September 11th. And the next thing you know, we're there for 20 years building schools and trying to win over the hearts and minds of the people. That is not why we go to war. We go to war because it's necessary and to take out a threat to the United States of America, not to install democracies in countries that, quite literally, Tim, you and I both know this, these are countries that can never be democratic. In fact, as much as it might suck to say this, let's get realistic. Many of these countries are better off when they're run by theocratic monarchs. I don't know that the Middle East is better off or Iraq is better off for having lost Saddam Hussein. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. I don't know that Libya is better off for having lost Gaddafi. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Well, I want to interject here because it's been the stated mission of the United States for years to have no secular democracy in the Middle East, no regime like Assad, for example, that would tolerate various ethnic and religious minorities in his nation. And you can look at Assad and say he's a murderer, he's a killer. And now, look, we got the Al-Qaeda terrorist in charge. So, Tim, your thoughts on that? Another question.
Well, I mean, we're not to take away from your guys' point, but you were talking about Israel there, and this isn't like a hardball gotcha. But I want you to just kind of clarify your positions on Israel, because I get a little confused, and I know you're not in support of this war. And Rex and I have the standpoint that Israel has clearly had a lot of influence in this conflict. But then I see pictures of people trying to post pictures of you with like a Israeli and American flag pin and those types of things. And I'm guessing those photos are from the past. Can you just clarify kind of where your position is at and what those photos of people of just criticizing you are alluding to?
Absolutely, Tim. Thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. So that photo was taken shortly after October 7th, which was a tragedy. Anytime you kill thousands of innocent lives, whether they're Israeli, whether there was Americans there as well, there were Thai, Cambodian foreign workers who were killed in that awful attack. A friend gave that to me and I wore it in the month or so after this heinous attack by Hamas on innocent individuals. And so I'm not going to apologize for wearing a flag pin, especially after that attack. Now, that flag pin, I think, often is worn by people who try to suggest that the U.S. is somehow in a great allyship with Israel. That is clearly not the case. I've never said that. I've never advocated for U.S. military aid going to Israel. The purpose of me wearing that pin while American citizens were being held hostage in Israel, or rather in Gaza by Hamas, was to call the world leaders to help bring those hostages home, something that President Trump rightly called for at the time. And I believe that President Biden and Vice President Harris were not doing enough for. And so with respect to, I think, the larger conversation, which is, well, you know, where did this guy come from? He's saying all the right things. What's up with that? Is this, I will always change my mind when the facts change. I was never some staunch supporter of Netanyahu or Israel. I never really had many public views about this. People will point to a debate I had with the one and only Destiny back in 2024, in which I said that Iran should not be able to fund proxies like Hezbollah and Hamas to attack Israel. I still stand by that. I don't think, you know, wherever you stand on Israel, pro or anti, you should not want a theocratic radical regime funding proxies that attack anyone in the region. And so I think there's a bigger, broader conversation that a lot of people want to have, which is, well, you were saying one thing and now you're saying something different. And yeah, guilty as charged. When the facts change, when Israel bombs the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza City, things change. My mind will change. When Netanyahu comes out and never accepts responsibility, never delivers accountability for that attack on Christians, when he goes out just last week and denies access to His Eminence Cardinal Piazzaballa, access to this holy church in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, of course, I'll call that out. And so, of course, my views will change on this. But I think what matters most is that Americans unite under a universal fact that whether you are pro-Israel or anti-Israel, perhaps even if you're apathetic or indifferent, we should all believe the fact that no American should be sent to die in a war for Israel.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I think more people need to have the belief system that your ideas can change with information.
We talk about that
October,
all the time.
Yeah, October 7th happened. I vividly remember exactly how it happened. I was watching the videos, the clips as they were coming out. And the average American was pro-Israel at that time because it was just an awful, heinous act. Call it a false flag or whatever. You just saw a bunch of kids dancing and having a good time, and then you just see people hunting them down with AK-47s and you just see the drones and missiles.
I think the thing that you're referring to is the potential of a green flag operation. We had an Israeli citizen on our show, and we listened to him talk about this, and he's like, look, I understand the military of my nation. I understand our borders. We have a helicopter base 20 minutes from here. We've had Green Berets on my dad's show talk about it. I mean, there's this 8-hour period where they're just being slaughtered by Hamas and nothing gets done. And we just see these wars always work out, not for the citizens of the country, whether that be Iran, America, or Israel. It's always in service to the regime, to the government. I think people want peace and Americans want to be respected. Do you see that hunger as well?
I do. And I think there are serious questions about whether there was a stand down order from Netanyahu or a high ranking Israeli official on October 7th, because it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And you'll remember, Rex and Tim, that the early hours of October 7th, there were videos, extremely raw graphic videos shared on X of just how heinous. I remember there was one, and again, pardon the graphic nature of this, but there was one where a Hamas fighter went into a barbershop and there was a Filipino expat worker, and with a gardening hoe, chopped his head off while he was alive. And so, of course, that kind of tragedy should be condemned fully. It's just absolutely disgraceful. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, yeah, Americans do hunger for peace. We don't want to be involved in these wars. Yeah, it's cool to see rockets and fighter jets and all of that. We want, I think what President Trump did rather successfully in December with Venezuela is we want a war or a short-term conflict rather that actually does something meaningful for Americans. Look, Maduro was a dangerous guy who didn't just kill innocent Venezuelans. He's responsible for the death of thousands of Americans. This is a guy, you guys have talked about it, who opened the prisons in Venezuela, the most dangerous gang-banging thugs, and then sent them to the United States under the guise of an asylum, open border nonsense from Kamala Harris, who was the border czar. And they came over, they took over condominiums, they flooded our streets with cheap addictive drugs like fentanyl. And so Venezuela was responsible for that. Maduro was responsible for that. And what did President Trump do? He sent the Delta Force down there to capture this guy and to bring him to trial in New York City. So that's the kind of military conflict that we want to see. It's in, it's out. There is a clearly defined objective and exit strategy. And most importantly, it is in the strategic benefit of the average American citizen. The average American citizen doesn't want trendy Aragua gang members taking over their local condominium complex or pushing cheap fentanyl counterfeits on teenagers in the community. And so my fear, though, Tim, is that what happened in Venezuela, such a successful operation then, ended up deluding the administration and senior advisors of the president into thinking that what was going to happen in Iran was going to be just as easy, just as seamless, an in and out. I genuinely think that the president thought that the mullahs of Iran were going to surrender in 48 or 72 hours. But these Iranian hardliners, I mean, they will go down with the ship. They do not care. The Venezuelans are not principled. They're not ideological in that sense. They're good people. But the leaders themselves, they're willing to throw in the towel. I mean, Maduro, you saw he came out with the track shoot. They let him change. He was perfectly content doing that. He did not fight. He did not kick. He did not scream. And that is very different than the way Iranian theocratic clerics will act.
We got this mafia in our own hemisphere, and they do a quick military operation. I would consider it to be a war, and I don't support the operation, but it's in our hemisphere. It's Monroe Doctrine. There's an argument logically that can be made for it. And we see this conflict thousands of miles away. These are, as Lindsey Graham puts it, you know, religious Nazis. And what do you think you're going to do when you declare war on them? They're going to fight until they're all dead.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of our own hemisphere, you know, we're seeing the military capacity of what we can do. Okay.
Right.
One thing that I've always been curious, and maybe James, you can touch upon this, is why haven't we actually gone after the real problems like the cartel in Mexico? I mean, they're actually killing Americans if you really think about it. Like, we're not really having a 9/11 or a terrorist attack, but we have millions of people dying from fentanyl overdoses and cocaine and those types of things. And Trump has signaled, like, I want to crack down on these things where, I mean, except for like Venezuela, where he said it was coming from there, which is a complete lie. It comes from China and Mexico. That's majority of fentanyl. But like for you, like, don't you think that we should be using those resources and intelligence operations to take out people who are actually bad for the American people and the Mexicans themselves right at our doorstep?
Absolutely. And if this were a military conflict right now where we were using Reaper drones to drop bombs on Mexican cartels, absolutely. That is a good use of money and a good example of how we need to operate in our own hemisphere for the benefit of American citizens. Again, we're killing 100,000 people every single year with drug overdoses. And those precursors to fentanyl that are actually from China that are shipped to ports on the Pacific Ocean in Mexico that create counterfeit versions of whether it's Adderall, Percocet, Vicodin, they're pressed fentanyl pills that are made to look like popular drugs in the United States of America. People take them, and because of this addictive poison, they die very, very quickly. And so that's a very good use of kinetic force if you want to drop a bomb on cartels to stop them from being able to flood our streets with cheap addictive poison. That's a compelling strategic interest. That does not require $200 billion from the Pentagon. In fact, that operation could be done in an entire weekend, knock out the cartels. But again, that would not be to the benefit of the Greater Israel Project. That would not be the benefit of Raytheon stock price. So again, why are we doing these things? That's an important question we have to ask ourselves.
That's a super high level geopolitical narco trafficking rundown, how we're going to stop it, potential futures and causality there. On the street, when you're talking to people, and they may not be as politically locked into monitoring the situation or whatever it's called, like all of us are, and honor to them. You got a life, got a family, you got a wife and kids. Take care of them, obviously, and all this stuff is really depressing to think about. What are they asking you for in relation to all these things? Are they asking you to look at the cartels in Mexico? Are they asking you to look at these conflicts that we're getting ourselves in? But what are they asking for domestically in relation? Where do they want that money to go? Instead of the wars, what are they looking to fund?
Well, that's a great question. I put out this video a couple weeks ago where I said that just as the New York Times was reporting, the Pentagon, led by Secretary Hegseth, wanted $200 billion to fund this war. I thought this war was supposed to be over in just a matter of weeks. You don't ask for $200 billion, which, by the way, is more than we spent in the first full year of the Iraq war, if their war is supposed to de-escalate and come to an end in just a matter of weeks. So that's the first point. But I put out this video, and I'll ask you this, Rex. Would you rather, if we're going to spend $200 billion, and I don't think we have to, but if we're going to spend $200 billion, would you rather bomb Iran for Israel, or would you rather build 1,300 rural hospitals? Would you rather spend $200 billion bombing Israel, or rather Iran for Israel, or would you rather raise the teacher pay of the best teachers in America by $65,000? Would you rather spend $200 billion bombing Iran for Israel, or would you rather offer down payment assistance for 20 million young couples who are looking to start a family but don't have a home, and that is delaying their family plans? And so I'm not a big fan of spending money, period, as we're staring down a $40 trillion national debt. The average American will end up having to pay $135,000 of that debt, borrowing from the communists in China, borrowing from everyone in the world, including our enemies, and then putting and saddling that debt on our children and grandchildren. But if the question gun to your head is how are we going to spend $200 billion, I'd much rather raise the pay of first responders, firefighters, TSA workers, public school teachers, police officers, build rural hospitals, and of course, offer down payment assistance. I mean, this is the perennial struggle in politics, is that when we were sending $200 billion to Israel or $300 billion to Ukraine for them to lose a war, rather humiliatingly, no one ever asked, where are we going to get the money from? But if I come out and I say, we're going to do down payment assistance for 30,000 Florida couples every single year, the Poindexter in Tallahassee or DC wants an immediate Excel spreadsheet for how we're going to pay for every single penny of it.
Yes.
And so this is the dilemma of the double standard, is when the neocons want money for their forever wars to fight Russia or fight Iran, no one bats an eye at $200 billion here, $300 billion there. But when we quite literally only want 1/100th of that to fund programs for the exclusive benefit of American citizens, everyone could not be more apoplectic, except the voters on the ground, except hardworking Americans. And so that's, I think, the question is people want to see money spent here. It was interesting. You might have seen this over the past weekend. Secretary Rubio was criticizing the Iranian regime. He said, you know, they're spending all of this money on bombs when they could be building schools and hospitals. And I said, sounds very interesting. We should apply that same logic as well. Look, I'm all for bombing countries if they want to hurt us.
I'm not totally okay with
bombing countries if they're not a threat.
I totally agree. It's time for the American people to be prioritized. The citizens feel that. We all have a hunger for it. We need it. We see the money being spent, and it's not being spent at home. It's not being spent on us. It's being spent to perpetuate these further conflicts so that transnational capital interests and the big banks, the big donors to political parties, political campaigns, so that they can keep and stay rich and make more money off other people's pain. We're going to be right back with James Fishback here. We're going to a network break. I want to remind you, the AlexJonesStore.com is the place to get all your vitamins, minerals, supplement needs. That's thealexjonesstore.com. We got 40% discounts, 30% discounts on all your top products right now. You're going to want to find them. You're going to want to check it out. Fishback returns here with us shortly. Thank you very much.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it and you like it and you want it again. Everything I sell to you works. we put deep research into and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research, and then go to theoliveshonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit theoliveshonestore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
For as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years, and Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm like horrible with equipment. I'm like very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
American Journal, almost done in the books. We have the James Fishback gubernatorial Floridian candidate running against Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds, we are looking forward to asking you some more questions. Tim, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so, well, before we get that, we're going to take callers during the second half of the bottom.
Oh, yes, I totally
just go ahead
forgot.
And read out that
it's
number.
It's my bad. Tim, before the break ended, you were like, read the caller number. I was like, sure, I got it. And then it just flies out of my head. The call-in number for the show after our interview, that's 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. That is the call-in number for the show on display now. Back to the interview.
Okay, so James, I just have a couple of questions for you because you're very popular on social media right now, and videos are circulating every single day. And I just, you know, not a lot of people get the behind the scenes for you to be able to clarify positions, those types of things. The more recent one that I'm seeing, and it may have been a day or two ago, people are making a really big fuss over the use of the word lynch with this black guy. And for me, I'm the African-American here. I looked at it. I didn't take any real offense to it. I kind of understood what you were saying. But again, there was enough people that were like, that's a very specific choice of words to use there. And this isn't a gotcha. It's just I want you to be able to talk about what you really meant.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. I actually regret the use of my word lynch there, not because he was black, I would have said it for anyone else, but because lynching is extrajudicial by its nature. You bypass court, you bypass a fair trial, you just quite literally go kill someone because you're upset. So I, of course, regret saying something that would bypass legitimate due process. I do think that when someone is coming up to you with a mob of people at 10 p.m. at night in downtown Orlando and repeatedly suggesting that you are guilty of a capital crime, that's pretty messed up. And I think that generally speaking, that is the kind of behavior that we cannot tolerate in society. You know, trying to incite violence against someone because you don't like them politically. Look, it's okay if you don't vote for me, but to suggest that I've committed a capital crime when there's absolutely no evidence of that, that's, you know, I go back to that thinking very biblical in the Old Testament is that, you know, if you're guilty of a capital crime, you should be put to death. And if you're falsely accusing someone of a capital crime, that you too should be put to death. And so I regret that word choice mainly because I don't support any form of capital punishment that is extrajudicial, that bypasses legitimate due process and a fair trial.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of pressure, you know, when you're in the mainstream, the lights, the cameras, those types of things for things to be said. The other thing that I was very curious about was, also, there was the whole lawyer situation debacle. I tried to understand that, but I was like, you know, I might as well just ask him to clarify. And a lot of people have been giving you flack.
I wanted to know, too.
Yeah. And he wanted to know, too. Again, these aren't gotcha moments. It's just, OK, what's happening there where I guess you didn't want to pay the lawyer
because he lost
the case. So what happened there, like from your standpoint?
It's a good question. So my standpoint is when you bring a lawyer on, you don't just expect them to win. You at the very least expect them to follow deadlines and basic procedure. And so my lawyer ended up missing a ton of deadlines, ended up losing the case for a lot of reasons that had nothing to do with the merits of the case, but purely poor procedure. And so I advised him I was going to be discontinuing his services and I wouldn't be paying him for the very simple reason that if you go to a restaurant and you ask for your steak to be medium rare and they give it well done, you shouldn't be expected to pay. And so it's not about whether the steak was good or whether I ate it, because I didn't. It was about whether or not this guy had followed basic protocol. And I think if, you know, your people out there are kind of taking the side of a lawyer, who makes $8 million a year personally and over a $150,000 legal bill for just a couple months worth of work. You know, he's not suing me or anything like that, but we just made it very clear that I'm not going to continue using those legal services at those high rates if he's not going to follow basic court procedures. And that's exactly what I did.
Okay. So one thing on that then, because sometimes there are legal agreements and structure before you go into an agreement with a lawyer where, you know, if he doesn't win the case, they don't win a certain amount of money. Also, the regular way that it typically goes, if I'm not mistaken, is it's win or loss. They typically expect you to make payments towards whatever services.
They get a percentage
of
the bounty.
Was it the first case that I'm understanding of how you guys had it structured, or you really just felt like he was doing a very bad job that it just didn't justify the payment?
It was the latter. He was doing a very bad job that didn't justify the payment. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you go out and you contract someone to go cut your lawn and they cut your lawn and they screw it up, you can give them an opportunity to recut it. I can't give this lawyer an opportunity to go back and retry this case, which I thought was an absolute winner. I thought we had a great argument. for the case. So, you know, it's unlike you go to a restaurant, hey, let's redo the steak. They can redo it. You pay for it. You go get your lawn cut. You come back in 2 months, you redo it. But something like this, you quite literally can't do a redo. And so I'll end up suffering a lot more than he'll lose on $150,000.
So if I don't misunderstand, he torpedoed the case in your view.
Yeah. What did he actually
do?
View,
yeah.
What did he actually do that bothered you the most during that case? Because if I understand, you were going and trying to countersue or sue somebody for something, right? And he was the one taking on your case for that?
That's right. I mean, I won't bore you with the specifics, but there's a lot of legal arguments that he did not want to use that would have been used rather successfully for the case, a lot of deadlines that were missed, so on and so forth. I think generally speaking, you've got lawyers in this country that are trying to rake people over the coals for hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's frivolous lawsuits happening every single day. And I think that when we get to a point in the profession where someone's trying to get $150,000 for a couple months worth of work, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I take the approach that President Trump takes, which is, if you screw up, you shouldn't get paid. If you do a great job, you should absolutely get paid, and perhaps even then some.
I mean, I'll give you this for sure. Like, I mean, the legal system and the lawyers, there are some predatory acts that happen in that industry, and the astronomical prices that it costs to get a retainer for certain cases.
It's
I've seen people lose cases to where just for the retainer it was $30,000 just to get started. And I'm like, you know, they're using AI now to do right. The paralegal job. So I'm like, okay, is there a real calculation or an ROI to understand what you're really paying for?
I don't think that there is. Just like our medical system, I think this is something that absolutely needs to be changed, where they just go, oh, we decide what the surgery costs. There is no guideline. There is no actual maximum. We decide what the medication costs. There is no guideline. We're the ones that actually write the guideline. I wanted to ask you about this. Speaking of writing the guidelines, we have this massive OnlyFans industry. Okay, that's profiting and doing a lot of predatory things to both people that post on the platform and the people that consume that type of media. You've talked about a sin tax, a 50% tax on OnlyFans creators in your state. How does that factor into things? Tell me about your view on that.
Well, my view is that young women are capable of anything they put their minds to, and that young women should not be told that they should abandon their dreams and aspirations of being a devoted stay-at-home mom or a teacher or nurse to pursue an online career of selling nude images and videos to complete strangers on the internet. You know, if you tried to pay a prostitute on the side of the road to get nude for you and do a little dance, that would be illegal. And so it's no different to go send money to Sophie Ryan and have her do a little dance for you. That's not just legal. It's encouraged and celebrated in large parts of our country. And so my view is, just because something is legal does not make it moral. It is a sin tax, first and foremost, Rex, because it is a sin for both the woman to produce adult content to draw men into lust, and also for men to give into that lust and to pay women to see themselves nude. And so I went head to head with the number one adult creator on OnlyFans, Sophie Rain. She had and I had a long conversation with Piers Morgan earlier this week, and it made it very clear is you can quit the online degeneracy of OnlyFans, or you can pay 50% tax on whatever money you make through that. We'll use that money to pay for infrastructure, to create programs that empower women and men, and to pay public school teachers who are doing everything right, pay them a little bit more. And so this is part of a view that I think the traditional class of Republicans fails to grasp. The traditional Republican will look at this and say, wait, I thought we're against raising taxes. No, we're against raising taxes on seniors, on young couples, on working families. We should never be shy, Tim, about raising taxes in a way that deters the degenerate, disgusting behavior known as OnlyFans.
And I understand. So my thing is, you know, if I look at this critically and analytically, over a certain amount of time, it would start with OnlyFans, but wouldn't this trickle down into other sectors, like you have strip clubs and other services that people
expanded?
Yeah, you've even got porn stars that are doing things. Like, how does this, because, you know, they would make the argument, you can't just tax us, you would have to tax everybody. And then you're looking at a situation where now you might have an entire like lobby of people coming after you. Have you thought about these situations too?
Yes, I have. And I think that's, everything is on the table. I don't want to see strip clubs in our state. I don't want to see porn stars do well in our state. I want to get back to a state where a young family can raise their family on a single income, can buy a home before the age of 30, can work 40 hours a week and not live in poverty. And then when it's all said and done, Tim, retire with dignity. Everything else, whether it's OnlyFans or strip club or liquor store, anything else is a distraction from that. And so there's this, again, this prevailing wisdom that you can't legislate morality. Of course you can, and of course you should, because if you don't consciously, intentionally legislate morality, immorality, evil, that is going to reign instead, and we cannot allow that to happen.
It sounds like, from what we discussed today, that I need to vote for Byron Donalds because I want porn stars, I want data centers, I want foreign influence in local and federal government. I support all of these things. You're coming out here saying we need to prioritize the American people and all that. I don't know where that comes from. That's some kooky conspiracy theory. In closing, I know, Tim, you probably have one more thing you want to ask.
No, I don't really have any more questions. It's more so like I appreciate you coming on, having the conversations. The whole reason of me asking those questions is because a lot of people just say things in a vacuum, and more often than not, people don't actually know what that person means. So for me, I want to always give every single person the benefit of the doubt before they're accused of anything.
And that's fair. It's like you talk about the biblical punishment for false accusation. Totally agree. And that's such a key point. If you're going to accuse somebody of a heinous crime, then also, you know, if you do that falsely, that's a heinous crime as well. I think that's a bona fide point you made.
Anything else for you, in closing, James?
Well, I just want to say, Tim, that, you know, I appreciate both you and Rex giving me the opportunity to come on. I'm wishing everyone a very meaningful and blessed Good Friday. And I'm always going to take time to think about my words, my word choice, and think about how we can make sure that this campaign is one that is positive. I'll tell you, the grievance politics of both the left and the right, it's gotten old and fast. We are sick of Democrats like Hillary Clinton calling Trump supporters deplorables, but we're also sick of the woke right, the Israeli operatives now calling anyone who disagrees this war a traitor to the country. And so we need to have a politics of unity. I think that when you react the way that I did earlier this week, that was not something that was unifying or civil. I regret my word choice, but I don't regret the fact that if you're going to accuse somebody of a capital crime falsely, that you too should be sentenced to the same punishment of the person if they were in fact guilty of that crime. I think we need to get to a point in society where no one should bear false witness or slander someone in the public square.
Beautiful. Happy Good Friday. Happy Easter as well to everyone listening to us. The Floridians out there, you're running a really hard grassroots campaign. You're out there every day. James Fishback, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we will definitely have you on again. Go ahead and follow James Fishback if you haven't on X, J Fishback. We appreciate having him on the show.
Yes,
we're about to take your calls, guys, because we've unpacked a lot today.
Yes, it was
heavy. We want to hear from you.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go and see if we got any callers.
Oh, I know we got callers on the board today. Let's go ahead and go to Ben in Indiana. Ben in Indiana, what's on your mind?
Good morning, y'all. I just wanted to say God bless you both. I really appreciate how you guys are current with not just, you know, I'm a millennial. I don't agree. I'm not this, you know, hippie, fun-loving millennial. I am a Christian man, and I really appreciate how you guys are always current with what I'm looking at. It feels like I'm talking to you guys every day.
Awesome.
And I really, Mr. Fishback, I hope he wins. I have aligned with him since I first heard about him, and I appreciate his stance on a lot of things and not afraid to answer questions. Like you guys said, you know, you want to get the clearance out there for what he actually stands for, because a lot of grifters are out here, you know, it's like Trump, what he's done, you know, said one thing and did a complete other once he got in.
Yes.
I just wanted to go ahead.
No, you're all just agreeing with you, Tim, your thoughts.
No, we appreciate the feedback, and we really just love doing this, and we really do care about giving you guys information and bringing on good guests. Anything else that's on your mind?
Really quick, it's a great honor to hear you say that. It feels like you're in the room talking with us, hanging out with us. That's what this is all about, man. Thank you so much. In closing.
No problem. Just want to bring up how Larry Loomer's calling to go after Turkey, and that's a monster you do not want to mess with. They're still very much like the Ottoman Empire. They're bloodthirsty, and they are going to do the same thing as Iran, but they have so much more of army, military capabilities and technology, and it's just, you know, I'm sick of these, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate all Jews. I don't hate anybody, you know. If you have hate in your heart for another person, to commit murder. You know, and I'm just sick of these, you know, other religions calling and trying to tell us what to do with our nation instead of realizing, you know, I just turned 35, you know, and I I have two young boys that I want a future for, that I don't want them to be afraid because, oh, you know, if they speak out against something and live in facts instead of the theories and ideologies, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, so again, Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And God bless you, and have a I don't believe in Easter. I believe in the resurrection. So, you know, happy Resurrection Week. You know, make God bless you guys and your journey. And thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Let's go to number seven, Chad in Minnesota. The deep dive on Ukraine. Let's talk about that. Chad, you're on the air.
Hey, Tim. First time caller with you. Second time with Rex. You guys are doing a great job.
Appreciate
all the hard work you're putting in and putting out the truth.
Thank
doing an excellent
much.
Job.
How you feel about these deep dives, man?
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great that you go back to Ukraine because now, you know, we're getting buried with Iran. And one point I wanted to make, I really appreciated all of everything that you covered, but there's a part and an aspect with Victoria Nuland and Senator Rubio at the time. And it was back in March of 2022 where at the Senate Foreign Council hearing, they actually had her on and interviewed her or, you know, put her up. And she was asked by Rubio if Ukraine has any biolabs, which you would think, you know, probably that they're not going to admit it. And she admitted to that. And Rubio put it back on that.
They have like a ton of them, too.
Yeah, and Georgia, you mentioned Georgia as well. There's lab information there as well that's shady. And that's the thing, is this information about labs. And, you know, it's just like it's so deep. We have so much information that just gets buried by all of the news. It's just so hard to keep up.
Yes.
And I think that Victoria Nuland aspect, along with Marco Rubio and trying to pin it back on to the Russians.
Here's the thing. We're pressed for time. We 100% agree with you. We thank you for enjoying the deep dives. We're going to do more on Victoria Nuland. We've made a note of the Ukrainian biolabs. Thank you so much, Chad. Let's go ahead and go to Godzilla on the Iran war. We got to keep it quick, Godzilla. We're stretched for time. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Rex. Yeah, I was wondering if you saw that video clip of Pete Hegseth giving a military officer a Masonic handshake.
No, I didn't see that. You think the secret society is involved?
Well, yeah, they have like secret handshakes and stuff. So that was one. And there's a lot of the Masonic stuff going on. Just like the countries founded by Masons, like even Candace Owens has like a Masonic Bible on her desk. I don't know if you saw that.
I just made a note of it, as well as the Hegseth thing. Anything else in closing? We're just stretched for time. Not trying to cut you off.
No, you can go to another caller. We'll talk another time.
All right. I appreciate Godzilla. Call in next week when we're hosting. We'll take another call from you. Thank you, Godzilla. Oh, we got the Masonic handshake up on screen.
Let me see.
We got the Masonic handshake. He goes for it, I guess. I guess I missed it.
I didn't really see.
Oh, and he's got I think that's called the claw or something.
Oh.
Right? That's something that like a Mason does. Let's go to Rob in Oregon. Rob in Oregon, you agree with us about the root cause. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the root cause, but you know, the root cause, Rex, is what our eyes are being taken off of right now. And I'm going to shift gears and just go right to it because of time. And basically, we got Matt Gaetz and we've got Tim Burchett, Senator Burchett, coming out talking about the alien-human hybrid program that's been going on for a while. Senator Burchett made a comment that he's not suicidal if anything happens to him, and that people are coming up missing that know about this right now. It stems back to the UFO hearings that are currently going on. And now it's Toto got thrown a bone, and we're getting our eyes off of everything with reality, with the wars, everything that's going on to get our eyes off this. And the main thing is, if people don't think that the Luciferians have totally taken over and are infiltrated into the White House, into our mainstream, it is a main problem. And they're keeping our eyes on other things that are real. I mean, people are dying. But
people are dying and we're being distracted from it. And there is that
human alien hybrid stuff apparently coming out, like my dad talked about. We'll cover it more next show. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Van in Arizona. In closing, talking on topic about what we were just discussing with Fishback. What are your thoughts on the interview?
Fishback's great. Only heard about him a few months ago. Great candidate. I wish we had more in Arizona. But I had a question for him. Wanted to know if he had any ideas of like how we can make a list of all these politicians in America that are not loyal to the United States, that have either dual loyalty or dual citizenship.
We have that. It's called AIPAC Tracker. we have a version of that already. And the thing is, here's the thing. I agree with you. I think it's known already. I think we already have that info. It's just what do we do?
Yeah, we need to make it a big, huge point. The elections are coming up this year, and I think there's a couple more off ramps where might be able to save this. I honestly think it's been gone, long gone. You know, in 2016, I'm like, how do we sustain this? And I voted Gary Johnson in 16. I voted Trump in 20. I voted Trump in 24. I feel so played out, and not worth it.
A lot of people feel that way now, brother, and we appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I want to get all the callers on the board. Sean in Colorado. Thank you very much. Sean in Colorado, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in response kind of to the guy that was calling in the other day with just nothing but hate full of Muslims.
Sure.
And it's just kind of sad. And I'm experiencing it with my own family. You know, it's divided. With people are just, you know, diehard Trump worshipers, whatever he does, you know, he can do no wrong. And it's really hard to deprogram some of these people in this generation. And within the church, especially, there's this huge problem.
What do you mean? I'll die for my president. I don't care if diesel goes up to $1,000. I'll die for my president. He is right about this war.
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And you did a good job there, Rex, of keeping calm composure, because I was hoping you'd go into it, but there was a professionalism.
Here's the thing. We got one guy overt out in the open. This is my opinion. I want to kill all the evil Muzzies. I want them dead. We got another guy says the same things online, but says it's all a joke. What do these two things have in common? It's evil. It's evil to say these things about little children, about glassing entire countries, about, you know, slitting the throats of all the pigs. I mean, it's dehumanizing language. It's racism. And ultimately, it's the stuff we do at war to dehumanize the enemy, to make them an untermenschen, a subhuman, so we can take everything we have and kill them. And people are people. We all have souls. If you're a Christian, you're not allowed to talk like that. Your thoughts.
And just the video that they have, go to my profile on X, Truism Tim. You can go watch the whole segment. This video is blowing up. If you want to catch what the caller's talking about, it's Rex between this guy and between him and some boomer. The guy's making outlandish claims here. But go ahead.
30 seconds. Your thoughts.
Sean, we got to get off the air here shortly. So we only got a minute before we come to the Alex Jones show. So.
Yeah, the folks just need to understand how close we are to Revelation, how close we are to fulfilling all of biblical prophecy. So people just need to get ready and have this open discussion about what's all getting really ready to be going down here with the mark of the beast, what's going on in Israel, you name it. But yes, we defeat the hate with love, and you can never... You know what I mean?
Thank you. Absolutely true. We kill the hate with love. That's what it's all about. It's about freedom. It's about actualizing your dreams. It's about going out there and claiming victory, not just for yourself, but for your family, your country, and everybody around you. The Alex Jones Show is coming up. You do not want to miss it. Hard-hitting info. American Journal did it again.
We will be back next week. Don't miss us.
We love you. We love you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.